This is lesson TBP 20. The series we're on is called The Prayer of Commitment, and this is part one. And our lesson is called When We Cast Our Cares Upon the Lord. And as I said before, this is lesson or part one in that series. We're talking about different kinds of prayer. We've been on prayer of faith for some time now, but there's another prayer that kind of goes along with it a little bit. And it's called the prayer of commitment. Okay? Now, just by way of review, let's talk about just names of different types of prayer. There's the prayer of faith. It has its own rules. Prayer of commitment. Prayer of consecration. Prayer of praise and worship. Prayer in the spirit. Intercession. Agreement. And some even subdivide it further into corporate prayer or praying altogether. So you see there's a lot of different kinds of prayer. But the prayer of commitment is a little bit different. And so tonight, what I'd like to do is move into this and discuss it a little bit. I find that whenever fear or anxiety, undue anxiety, there's nothing wrong with being a little anxious sometimes or being concerned about things, but undue concern, where it becomes worry or begins to keep you awake at nights, things like that aren't God and aren't of God. God doesn't want that. He said He's not given us a spirit of fear. And so God has impressed me to start talking about this prayer of commitment. What to do when there's fear in your life. What to do when there's anxiety or worry. So let's just turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And let's read the word tonight like we've never read it before. You know, sometimes it's tempting when you read the word to say, well, your mind says to you, hey, I've read that before. I know what that says. And sometimes I find that when I approach the word that way, I skip right over it kind of and go on to the next new thing. But I think it's important sometimes just to go back like we've never read it before. Okay, let's look at it. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. All right, we've been talking about prayer, haven't we? And we talked about thanking God for the answer to your prayer, even before you see it in the natural. But notice this verse starts out saying, be careful for nothing, but. In other words, if you have anxiety, undue concern, worry, then the Holy Spirit is telling us through the Apostle Paul here, be careful for nothing. That means to don't be full of care about anything, right? That's just another way of saying it. Don't be full of care about anything. The Amplified Bible says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Now, see, this isn't just a suggestion by God. This is what He says to do. Just as an aside here, none of this stuff we're talking about even works. Just because we come here to prayer, just because we come to church on Sunday morning, we listen intently. So far, that's good, but it doesn't work just because you do that. It works because you actually do what the word says. You know, remember James, it says 1:22, be ye not just hearers of the word, but doers also. And then he goes on to say, deceiving your own selves. Isn't that tragic? How people deceive their own selves. How do they do it? By hearing the word and then not doing it. Now all week I think I've been impressed about doing the word. Just been echoing around. Do the word. Do the word. You know, really the whole Christian walk boils down to three words. Do the word. Not hear the word, do the word. See, Jesus said it this way. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? See, they don't go together. So many times, it's easy just to hear something, get in the habit of coming to church or prayer and all that, and that's all good. But I remember when I was a young Christian, I hadn't been a Christian too long, the word was just coming alive to me like it has to the rest of you. And I was just spending 8-10 hours a day in the Word. And, you know, and Marianne thought I'd gone absolutely nuts, you know. But I was just so empty inside. And all of a sudden, I just sensed that everything in here, this was truth. This got me saved. And just the same way it said in this Bible, I got saved, happened. You know, I was a new creature in Christ. I could feel it all through me. And I thought, just maybe the rest of it's true too. And if it is, I want to find out about it. And so I started reading the Bible 8-10 hours a day, and Marianne thought I was a little goofy, but I just had to make up for lost time. And then one day I was sitting at work, and maybe I've shared this with you before, and I was saying, God, just somehow give me more hours in the day, because I was reading at noon hour, I was reading it before I went to work, I was reading it after work, to read the Word, because I know it, the consensus is so important. And in my spirit, I heard this: you're reading the Word enough. And that surprised me. Can you read the Word enough? But he didn't stop there. He went on to say, you're reading the Word enough, but you can do the Word 24 hours a day. Reading the Word is not an end in itself. That's a means to the end of what? Doing it. And that's where all the promises are, is doing it. Remember what God said to Joshua? If you meditate on my word day and night and observe to do everything that's written therein, and turn not from it to the right or to the left, but observe to do all that's written therein, then you'll prosper and have success. And the Amplified Version says, deal wisely in the affairs of life. So, as we read this tonight, we got to do this stuff, or it ain't going to work. When it says be anxious, or do not fret, or have any anxiety about anything, it means we actually have to do that if we're going to have the next promise in verse 7, and that's the peace of God. Now some people say, how can I possibly do this? This thing has been on my mind for a year now, or 2 years, or whatever. It's driven me about half nuts. I can't. How do you do this? Well, we've got to remember, first of all, God isn't going to ask you to do anything you can't do. That wouldn't be fair, would it? If God says, everybody needs to get born again, that's true. They do, don't they? Everybody has to get born again. But if he didn't tell us how to do it, wouldn't that be cruel? But he did tell us how to get born again. And everything you'll find that God tells you in the Bible to do, he tells you how to do it. Okay? So be anxious, or do not fret, or have any anxiety about anything. But in everything, by prayer. So if you're anxious, before you even bother to pray, if you've got a lot of anxiety, stop right there. Because see, this promise that you're going on to get peace here with is contingent on, first of all, being anxious for nothing, and then pray and believe God. Because if you go on into prayer and you're fretting and you have anxiety about something, you just might as well save your time. It's not going to work. Okay? So how do we do this? So let's just go and turn to 1 Peter 5:7 and find out just how we pray this prayer of commitment. 1 Peter 5:7. Says this: casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Right there it is. You have a care, you have a worry, you have an anxiety. God doesn't just say suck it up, bear it. He gives you something to do about it. That's what's neat about it. He says, cast it on me. I'm big enough to carry it. In fact, if you go on and study this, you find out that he can't do anything when we got it. And we've all heard this before, but sometimes it's good to hear it again. If you got it, he doesn't. That's not faith. When we pray and we're still worrying about something, I heard Roy Hicks say it, faith never struggles. It just doesn't struggle. When you're in faith, it's not a struggle. Now, there is a certain fight in the good fight of faith. You've got to cast down those imaginations and all that, but there's no struggle in your spirit once you've given it to God. Okay, so humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How do we do this, Lord? By casting all your care upon him. See, that's how you humble yourself, so he can exalt you in time and solve this problem. It's a humbling experience to cast it all off into God. I'm one of these guys that's a fixer, and I like to fix stuff. I mean, if there's a problem, I'm a fixer. And my daughter mentions something that's wrong, I'll be there tomorrow, honey. Marianne says the mailbox is broken like a day ago. 5 minutes later, I'm down there fixing that mailbox, because the door was falling off or something. It's just something I wanted to fix. And it's hard for a person like me in the natural to give it to God, because I have to humble myself to cast it onto him. You see that? It's kind of a humbling thing. A lot of us want to do it ourselves. I can do it. And I think it comes from men, especially from kind of a macho attitude about things. I don't care how hard it is. I don't care how much time it takes. If it's going to harm my family, if it's going to come between those I love, I'll do it somehow. Or whether it's running a marathon or whatever it might be. I used to do that a lot. Now, I finished every one. But I'm telling you, this is harder than finishing a marathon sometimes. It's casting these cares. But you can do it. And the way you do it is by humbling yourself, admitting you can't do it, being humble enough to give it to God so he can work on it. All right, how do you do this? Cast your care upon the Lord. Well, Casting. It means, I have written down here, to throw, roll, shrug out of, roll away from. Sometimes, depending upon the burden, it seems like sometime I've just had to lay down and shrug out of this pack that's been on my back. I can't even stand up with the thing and just roll out of it and just sort of kick it toward God and say, take it. I don't want it anymore. You got it. And then sometimes I find myself a half hour later, I don't even realize, putting it back on again, getting up and walking away with this same old junk. But you can't do that. You know, if you're going to hold these things to yourself, two bad things happen. One, it drives you nuts. And two, God isn't going to work on it. And they're both bad. That's bad. You give it to Him, two good things happen. You don't have it anymore. And He does. And He can now do something. Casting all your care upon Him. Sometimes I have to think of it. You know, I actually walk over with sometimes to God. Say, God, here, I act out the whole thing. Because it helps me to get it in my spirit what I'm actually doing here. Okay, I'm walking over here. Jesus, Heavenly Father, You're right here. Here it is. If it's big enough, sometimes I just roll it because I can't even lift the thing. You know, here's something I was preparing this lesson this week. It just hit me. Some people say we can't do this, but God showed me that if you can carry this, you can at least put it down.
Well, that's right.
You know? If you can carry it, you can put it down. So don't say you can't do it. That's all God's asking. Put it down and walk away from it. He'll pick it up. So just do it. Sometimes I think of me driving a big front end loader or a power shovel or carrying it in a 5-gallon bucket. You know, some things are so messy, you can't even put it in a front end loader to give it to God. It's such a mess. It's a big liquid mess. And the only way you get to God's in a bucket. That's okay. He'll take a bucket of it then. I don't know. Maybe you think I'm nuts, but this is what goes through my mind when I'm giving this thing to God. God, this is such a mess. It's just a bucket of stuff here. You know, I don't even know what it is, but here, it's yours. But I don't use a backhoe. I thought about that as to get it to God, because, you know, a backhoe digs holes. You don't want to bury this thing. You want to give it to God, right? Give it to Him. I'd just like, to impress you with something tonight, and that is this. Whenever we have any kind of teaching in the church, whether it's myself or whether it's pastor or preaching, you know, I think it's a good idea to do, because the Lord's been working on me, write something down during the teaching or the preaching or whatever that you're going to do that week. I mean, because otherwise it becomes sterile. You understand what I'm saying? We all go away, we feel good for a while, we look in that mirror, we see what man or man we are, and we walk away and forget, and we're deceived. God's been pressing me all week, we actually have to do something. Sometimes that's a revelation. We actually have to do what the Word says for it to do what God's promised it to do. You know, it's sort of like the brother tithing this morning. You know, you actually have to tithe if you want the blessing. You actually have to do it. You actually have to write a check. And it has to be 10%. That's tithing. It actually has to get done. Be a deed. It can't be a thought, can't be a good intention. It's got to actually happen before the blessing comes. And it's got to actually happen on a consistent basis, time after time after time after time after time. And you build up that momentum in the spirit realm, and then it starts coming in on every wave. Every wave, every wave. But it takes a time to get it started. You know, I told my daughter when she got involved in tithing, I said, honey, you know, two things. One, be prepared to be tested in this thing. There's going to be times after you've tithed it doesn't look like it's working. Okay, that's one thing. Number two, once you get the momentum going, you can't stop it. It just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling. It's sort of like a big locomotive. It takes a while to stop. You know, if you pull your car out in front of a track and there's a train down there 500 yards and you don't move that car, you're going to get hit. That train just can't stop all of a sudden because it's got what they call momentum. And that's the same way with tithing. Once you get it going and once you're consistent, and I don't know why I'm on tithing, but we are, you've got to just, it will continue to roll. It will continue to come in on every wave. And you know, they had, my daughter and her husband, they went through some pretty tough stuff here while we were still living in Minnesota. We found out about later, where they didn't have food to eat. They didn't have, you know, I think all they were eating three meals a day was cereal for a while. Probably should kick me for telling this. But now they're flowing. Now it's good. But through that, you got to be faithful. A lot of people get to the very point where God's ready to bless them, and they cave right there, just before the blessing. And that's a shame. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that your word is true. Father, I just ask in the name of Jesus that you give every person here something to write down that they're going to do this week, Lord, because, Lord, we don't want this to be sterile. We want to actually bear fruit. And we know that if we do your word, it bears fruit. In Jesus' name. Okay, let's go over the homework now. True or false? There are several types of prayer, and each type is to be prayed according to its own rules. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. That's one of the things that we learned in our lesson, and we've learned it in other lessons that we've had as well. There are many, many types of prayers, and the problem is many people try to use the same rules for all the different types of prayer, and that doesn't work. And so that's why we've had so much teaching on prayer in our school here. So that's true. Next question. Name three types of prayer. Just as kind of a review, I wanted you to name three types of prayer. Okay? Well, there's at least eight types of prayer in the Bible. Any three of those would be satisfactory for an answer here. Let's go over what some of these types of prayer are, and I'll give you all eight of them here, and you can just put down any of these three of these that you want. There's the prayer of faith, or it's also sometimes called the prayer of petition. That's number one. Number two, the prayer of worship. Number three, the prayer of consecration. The number four, the prayer of intercession. Number five, united prayer. Number six, the prayer of agreement. Number seven, prayer in the Spirit. And number eight, the one we're on in this series, the prayer of commitment. Remember, each type of prayer has special rules governing their operation. For example, you can't mix the rules for the prayer of faith with the rules for the prayer of consecration. The prayer of consecration, by the way, is the only type of prayer wherein if it be thy will should be used. In the prayer of faith, you must believe you've got it before you get it, according to Mark 11:24. And you can't do this while praying if it be thy will. So now, having said that, let's go back to our homework. Okay, so any of those types of prayer you could put in for your three types of prayer in this blank here. Okay, next question, true or false? In James chapter 1, verses 20 through 25, the Bible says that if we will just listen to God's word, we will be blessed. Is this true or false? Well, if you go back and read James 1, 22 through 25, you'll find out that's false. What does James 1, 22 through 25 say? It says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Because if we just are hearers only, we're deceiving our own selves. And it says, if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he looks at himself, and then goes his way, and right away forgets what he saw, or what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the word of God, and continueth therein by doing it, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of what it says, that's what it's saying here, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So you have to be a doer of the word to be blessed. And here we said in this question, if we will just listen to God's word, we will be blessed. And that's why it's false. You've got to do more than just listen to God's word. You've got to actually do his word. So that's false, the way it's stated. Next question. If I decide to pray the prayer of faith, also called the prayer of petition, for something I desire, and discover that I am worried or fretful about the situation that I'm praying about, I should stop praying until I have dealt with the worry first. Is this true or false? Folks, this is absolutely true. If you find that you're starting to pray and you're still worried about the situation, you should stop and deal with the worry. Why do I say that? Well, for a couple of reasons. Number one, in the prayer of faith or prayer of petition, the text scripture for this is Mark 11:24. And Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, that's the prayer of petition or the prayer of faith, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe ye receive, and then ye shall have them. Now, if you're worried still, then you're not going to be able to believe that you receive when you pray. Why? Because you're worried still. You've got to meditate on that promise until the worry goes, until you're ready to pray. Then you can truly believe that you receive when you pray. Now, so this is true. If you decide to pray the prayer of faith for something you desire and discover that you're worried or fretful, you should stop praying
until you've dealt with the worry first. Now we're going to talk about how you deal with the worry. That's where the prayer of commitment comes in. The way to deal with worry is to pray another type of blank called the blank of blank first. What goes in those blanks? The way, this is the key part of our lesson, folks. So listen to this. The way to deal with worry is to pray another type of prayer called the prayer of commitment first. Remember, prayer is any communication we have with God. It's not just asking God for something. So that's why we call so many types of different things prayer. We have eight types of prayer that we mentioned earlier. And the way you deal with worry is to pray another type of prayer called the prayer of commitment first. Next question. True or false? Philippians 4:6 says we are not to have a lot of fretting and anxiety before we pray. I'll just quote Philippians 4:6. It says, and you decide whether it's true or false. Philippians 4:6 said, "Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and then the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus." Now, what does it say there? It says, "Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything." Well, did it say not to have a lot of fretting, or did it say not to have any fretting? Well, it said not to have any fretting. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Do not. It didn't say not to have a lot of it. It said don't have any of it. So it's false the way it's stated because of the word a lot. You can't have any fretting and anxiety. Any fretting or anxiety is wrong. And I know we all do it from time to time, but God is telling us exactly here how to deal with it. He said, do not fret or have any anxiety, but in everything, by prayer, let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. And then if you truly believe you received when you prayed, then you can thank him for the answer before you see it. Okay, so that is false, the way it's stated. Okay, next question. In the prayer of commitment, we cast our care upon God and the appropriate promises in his word. Is that true or false? That's true. That's what you do in the prayer of commitment. You cast your care upon God. Now let's go back and read our key scriptures that were in the outline for the prayer of commitment. 1 Peter 5:7 says in the Amplified Version, "Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully." Now let's just look at that scripture for just a second here. It says we are to cast the whole of our care. That's whole. I've got it underlined. All of it. All your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. Now, let me clarify one thing here. It says once and for all on him. Does that mean we just pray this prayer once in our whole life and that's the end of it because we do this just once, we cast everything on him? No. When you have a worry or an anxiety, that means on that particular topic, on that particular thing that you're anxious about or have a lot of care about or are worried about, on that particular thing, you cast the whole of your care, all your anxieties about that situation, all your worries about that situation, all your concern about that situation, once and for all about that situation on him. Okay, so it's talking about the thing that you're currently worried or concerned about. It doesn't mean you just do this one time in your life. It means you do it once for a particular situation that's cropped up in your life. I think that's clear now. Now listen, "For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully." In other words, he cares. But he can't do anything, what he's telling us here, about your anxiety, about your concern, about your worry, until you cast that whole care on him. That means trusting him to take care of it. Okay? So that's what the prayer of commitment's all about. Now I'll read Psalm 55 too, because it deals with this situation too. "Cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved." It means made to slip, fall, or fail. Okay, so there's two scriptures that tells us what to do when we have worry or anxiety. We cast our care upon the Lord. Now, we'll go back to the homework now after reading those scriptures and answer the questions. All right, let's see now, where were we? 1 Peter 5, 7 and Psalm 55, 2 say that you are to cast the whole of your care on Him, which means to cast all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him, releasing the entire weight of it to Him. And here we're talking about a particular situation. The answer to this question is true. That's exactly what these scriptures say. We do it once and for all, and we cast the care of it on Him. So that's true. Now, let me just tell you something. Recently, I had a situation, or a couple of situations, actually, that just got me so fretted up and fretful that I couldn't sleep. Yeah, it happens to me, too. And so I came up here where I am now in my den, where I'm now recording this, and I sat in my chair here and began to talk to the Lord about the situations that were troubling me. And I have another chair across the room. And so I recalled, actually, it was in preparing this lesson, to be honest with you, I realized I had the same situation I'm teaching about. So I actually talked to the Lord. I said, these are the two things that are bothering me right now. And I see in your word that you said to cast the care of these things upon you, and you'd take care of it. So, Father, I come before you right now in the name of Jesus. And what I did is I individually took each problem and situation and actually picked it up in my arms, carried it across the room, and put it in the chair across the room where I imagined Jesus was sitting. Cast the whole of my care upon Him. I then came back, talked to Him about the other care I had, picked it up, walked across the room, and laid it down in His lap as well. Now, why did I do that? Did that sound foolish to you? I did that because it was a formal way of releasing this entire care, these two entire cares and burdens to Him. And so I did that. I walked across the room and put those things before Him. Now, when you do that, what you're doing really is not only releasing it from yourself, you're giving it to the one who can solve your problem. See, He can't take care of this problem while you still are worrying about it because there's no faith involved. But when we cast our care, truly cast it upon Him, and sometimes you have to do this maybe a couple of times. It'll come back in the night, get up, do it again. And then finally, you can just leave it there, and it won't bother you anymore. Now, these two particular situations, and I won't tell you what they are because they're kind of personal, I walked across the room, I laid them on His lap, and do you know that within a couple of days, both these situations were taken care of miraculously? Now, one of them was really miraculous because I was praying about a situation about a person in our family and who had a certain situation in their life that I was concerned about. And do you know, within 2 days, the Lord showed me what was wrong in that situation and how to fix it, how they could fix it. I was so thrilled. I went over to that person and told them exactly. I didn't make a big deal about the Lord told me or anything like that. I just said, listen, here's what's wrong. This is what you need to do to fix this thing. And they listened and they took it into their heart and did what I said to do. And the situation is so much better now. And this particular person had a health problem and already it's improved significantly. So I'm just saying that what we do when we carry these burdens and give them to Him is we actually allow God to go to work in our lives in that situation. I think we all want God to go to work in our lives in situations, don't you? But if we're worrying and concerned, we can't. He won't take it from us. We have to give it to Him. So just keep this in mind, because I've just recently done this, and it really, really does work, just the way the Word says it will. Okay, next question. Why are we able to do this? And I'm speaking of casting our care upon Him in faith, knowing He will sustain us. Why can we do this in faith, knowing that He will take care of the situation? Well, I'll give you three reasons, and you can put either one of these three in the blank. Number one, because the Word tells us to. Now remember, folks, God's Word is simply that. God's Word is His Word. This means about all the situations in life, This is the best advice you'll ever get on how to handle it. It's given to you by a person who will never lie, never be caught in a lie, never not have enough information to give you full information on the subject, but it will be absolute truth if you'll do what the Word says. All right, so the first reason we're able to cast our care upon Him in faith, knowing He will take care of it, is because the Word tells us to. Number two, because He cares for us. It says, affectionately, and cares about us watchfully, casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. And He cares for you so much that He is just waiting for you to take that burden, release it from yourself, and give it to Him so He can go to work on your behalf. But remember, folks, He cannot do it until we release it to Him. Because why? If we're still worrying, there's no faith there, is there? And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And without faith, God can't go to work for us in our lives. So we need to. So the second reason is because He cares for us. Okay. Number three. The third reason is because He says in His Word, if we'll do this, He will then sustain us or take care of the situation. Okay, so three reasons. Number one, because the Word tells us to. Number two, because He cares for us. And number three, because He said in His Word that if we'll do this, He will then sustain us or take care of us. Okay, next question. These two scriptures teach us that God will take our burden from us when it becomes too much for us to carry. Is this true or false? Well, that's false. Why is it false? Because it's up to us to release it or give it to Him. He won't take the burden from us. See, that's not the way it works. It says that we're to cast all of our care upon Him. It didn't say that God sees this too much for us, He'll come in and take the burden. It says that we are to do it. So this is false. Next question. No, they say that God will help us carry our burden. These scriptures, in other words. No, these scriptures say that God will help us carry our burden. Is that true or false? That's false too. He's not going to help us carry the burden. He'll carry it entirely Himself if we release it to Him. So it's false because we must release or give it to Him, just like the last question. So two things that we shouldn't do. Number one, we shouldn't assume God will take our burden from us when it becomes too heavy. No, we have to give it to Him. And number two, we shouldn't assume that God will help us carry our burden. No, He wants to carry all of it, so we have to release all of it to Him. Can you imagine if He just carried part of it and we carried part of it? What an imbalance that would be. I mean, He's trying to go one way and take care of the situation. We're heading for somewhere else, and it wouldn't work. So that is false. Next question. The full meaning of casting our burdens on the Lord means to blank, 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 or blank, 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 the burden. Now, there's no way on earth you could fill in those blanks unless you had the outline. And if you look in our outline, it tells how to fill in this blank. And I gave you the first letter of the words. And this is taken verbatim from our outline. So, let's fill in the blanks. The full meaning of casting our burdens on the Lord means to throw, roll, shrug out of, or roll away from the burden. That's what the original Greek says for this word of casting our burdens on the Lord. I looked it up, and these are the meanings it gives. Let me read this again. The full meaning of casting our burdens on the Lord means to throw, roll, shrug out of, or roll away from the burden. In other words, we get rid of it. That's the main thing to know here. We give it to God, and then He takes care of it. Next question. Fill in the blanks. We must blank the blank to Him before He will blank it for us. He won't take the blank from us. That's also from our outline. What goes in those blanks? Here goes. We must release the burden to Him before He will carry it for us. He won't take the burden from us. Let me read it a little faster so it makes more sense. We must release the burden to Him before He will carry it for us. He won't take the burden from us. And we just covered that above, but I'm just kind of saying it again so you really get the point. Next question, true or false? Sometimes this can be difficult to do, but it helps if we remember that if we've already been carrying a great burden of worry and care, surely we can put it down and roll it over on Him. This is true or false? Folks, this is true. I was teaching on this one time, And in the middle of my teaching, God just said to me, tell them that if they've been carrying this burden, they can surely put it down and let me carry it. And I thought that made so much sense. I mean, if we've been carrying it, we must be able to lay it down. After all, we've been carrying it, right? And if we've been able to carry it, we can surely lay it down. And because laying down a burden is much easier than carrying it. And so this is true. Surely we can put it down and roll it over on him if we've been carrying it. So that's true. True or false? Casting our cares on him means casting what you can't carry on the Lord and carrying the rest yourself. Is that true or false? Well, folks, that's false, and you know that because we just had a question like it above. But I just said it one more time so you would remember this. Casting our cares on him means casting all of our burden on him and not carrying any of it ourselves, because if we're still carrying part of it ourselves, God won't carry any of it. And the whole key of getting our prayers answered and getting rid of worry is to give him all of it. Only when God has all of the burden, we cast all the care on him, can he truly then go to work on our behalf, carry the burden, and solve the situation and get us out of the mess. So don't carry any of it, folks. Give it all to him. And if it starts to come back and you find yourself fretting again, do the same thing again. Give it all back to him again. And pretty soon the enemy won't bother you about this anymore, and you'll truly be free of it, and then God can truly go to work and solve your problem. Next question. If I see someone carrying a great worry burden, the Christian thing to do is to cast that burden on the Lord for them. Is this true or false? Well, that may sound kind of silly, but sometimes we try to do that. We'll pray for that person. Oh, Lord, they're so worried. They've got such great concern. They've got all these things going on in their lives. Lord, please just help them not to worry anymore and be concerned about that situation. That's not going to work, folks. That's false. The answer to this question is false. Why? It says they must cast their care. You can't cast their care upon God for them. It's up to them. See, it's their faith God's looking at, not your faith in this situation. So they must cast all their care. See, this verse, 1 Peter 5:7, then applies to them if they've got the worry. So they have to cast the whole of their care, all their anxieties, all their worries, all their concerns, once and for all on him about that situation. You can't do it for them. Each person must do this for themselves. Okay, so that's false. They must do it themselves. Next question. No, the Bible says for us to cast our care on the Lord, not theirs. We have no authority over another's cares or burdens. Is this true or false? That's true. The Lord says for us to cast our care upon the Lord. So they must cast their care upon the Lord. In that case, that our care becomes their care, and they can only do it. You can't cast someone else's care on the Lord. So the answer to this question is true. The Bible says for us to cast our care upon the Lord, not theirs. We have no authority over anybody else's worry. Now, we can, well, we'll cover this next, tell you what you can do about your friends that have worries. How can we help another who is carrying a worry burden? Fill in the blank. The way you can help this person is by showing them what the Bible says for them to do. Okay? You can show them this verse in the Bible and say, you know, it says that we're to cast all of our care. And they'll fight with you at first. How can I do that? Listen to what the situation is. Listen to what's wrong. And you have to just bore through that and say, no, it says cast all your care. You can do it. The Bible says do not worry or have any anxiety about anything. And God wouldn't tell us to do something if we couldn't do it, would he? That wouldn't be fair. Anything the Bible tells us to do, we're able to do. Okay, so you can help another person who's carrying a worry burden by showing them what the Bible says they're to do. Especially, now listen to this, especially when they ask for your help, or especially when the Lord directs you to. Why am I saying that? That doesn't mean that we stick our nose into every situation that we see that people have problems. Sometimes we're just butting in, and sometimes it's not going to be welcome. God knows when it's going to be welcome, and we know when we've been asked. If they ask us, what do you think I should do, then go ahead and tell them. Or if God directs you to or gives you a little nudge, you know, tell them what you know about this situation, then go ahead. But be careful about just going in there like a bull in a china shop and rolling in there and saying, brother or sister, I see you got your worry. Here's what you need to do. Come on, I'll help you. You know, that it comes on a little bit strong sometimes. And we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in these situations, because there's no good in going in there if they're not going to listen anyway. So the Lord knows when they're ready to listen. Or sometimes they'll ask you, what do you think I should do? You know, didn't you have this situation about a year ago? What did you do? Then you're able to teach them and show them what we're talking about in this lesson. Okay, next question, true or false? Some people go about and try to cast their cares and burdens on others by talking incessantly about their worries to others instead of casting their cares and burdens on the Lord. That's true. Have you ever known someone, and maybe we've done this ourselves at times, I know I have, you know, you've got a situation on your mind, you know, it's a burden, and instead of thinking, hey, this is, I'm supposed to cast this on the Lord, instead we go tell everybody else, oh, this is the situation I'm facing, oh, it looks bad, oh, how am I going to get out of this, what am I going to do? And then they say, well, here, you know, it's not that bad. It doesn't look that bad. Oh, wait a minute. You don't know about this situation. It's even worse than I told you. Listen to this. And you go on and on and on and on. And then pretty soon that person is just sort of beat down too. That's sort of like casting your burdens on them. That's not going to do you any good. God didn't say cast your burdens on your friends. He said cast them upon him. And then he'd take care of it. Your friends are not going to be able to take care of this nearly as well as God can. So don't do that. So the way this question is phrased, the answer is true. Some people actually do this. And our last question. Give two reasons why we should cast our cares and burdens on the Lord and not try to carry them ourselves or try to cast them upon others. Okay. I'm going to give you three reasons, and any two of these three would work. Number one, He has the strength and wisdom to carry them while working it out for us. In other words, only God is the one that has the ability and wisdom to carry your burden while He's working it out for you. Okay, that's reason number one. Number two, He cares for us more than any human possibly could. He really wants to solve our problems, but He can't do it unless there's some faith involved. And that faith in this situation is casting the care of it upon Him. So, number two, He cares for us. Number three, according to God's word, it won't work any other way. This is the way God's word says to do it. So, two reasons why we should cast our cares upon and burdens upon the Lord and not try to carry them themselves or try to cast them upon others. Number one, only He has the strength and wisdom to carry them while working out the problem. Number two, He cares for us more than any human possibly could. Number three, according to God's word, it won't work any other way. Well, folks, that completes our homework for today.